It's not just oil, three critical supply chains being upended by the war in Iran. Executive summary. The Iran war that erupted in late February 2026 has revealed a strategic vulnerability far more dangerous than disrupted oil supplies, the simultaneous severing of three non-substitutable supply chains that underpin modern industrial civilization. While Brent crudes climb above $100 per barrel dominates headlines, the cascading failures in helium, pharmaceutical cold chain logistics, and fertilizer distribution represent second-order effects that could trigger systemic collapse in semiconductor manufacturing, healthcare delivery, and agricultural production across multiple continents. Iran's March 2026 retaliatory missile strikes on Qatar's Ras Laffan industrial city, which produces more than one-third of global helium supply, have eliminated approximately 5.2 million cubic meters of monthly helium output, at precisely the moment artificial intelligence infrastructure build-out demands exponentially higher volumes for semiconductor fabrication. This is not a temporary supply shock that markets can arbitrage around. It is a structural break in the material foundations of the digital economy, occurring simultaneously with disruptions to vaccine cold chains and spring planting season fertilizer applications that feed 3 billion people. The Plaquemines assessment: markets are catastrophically mispricing the duration and severity of this crisis because they are treating these as three separate commodity shocks rather than recognizing them as a single, interconnected systems failure with 18 to 24-month minimum recovery timelines that no amount of capital can compress. Situation report on March 21, 2026, Business Insider reported that the ongoing Iran war has disrupted three critical supply chains beyond petroleum, helium, pharmaceutical drugs, and fertilizer. The triggering event was Iranian ballistic missile attacks on Qatari liquefied natural gas facilities at Ras Laffan industrial city following Israeli airstrikes on Iran's South Pars gas field. Qatar Energy confirmed extensive damage to facilities that account for approximately 17% of global LNG production. The Ras Laffan complex is responsible for a substantial but unspecified portion of global helium supply, extracted as a byproduct of LNG processing. Qatar produced more than one-third of the world's helium in 2025, second only to the United States, according to U.S. Geological Survey data cited in the Business Insider report. The disruption has eliminated an estimated 5.2 million cubic meters of monthly helium production, according to research from the Kobasi Letter. Helium prices have doubled from the supply shock and could surge an additional 25% to 50% if disruptions are prolonged, the same research indicated. Concurrently, commercial transit through the Strait of Hormuz, through which approximately 20% of globally traded oil and an estimated one-third of global seaborne fertilizer transit, has ground to near complete halt. Iranian threats to burn any tanker attempting passage have sharply reduced traffic, contributing to both energy and agricultural supply fears. President Donald Trump issued an ultimatum on March 21, 2026, giving Iran 48 hours to fully reopen the Strait of Hormuz or face attacks on Iranian power plants, specifically mentioning the Bushehr nuclear facility or the Damavand natural gas plant near Tehran. The pharmaceutical supply chain has been disrupted by transit delays affecting medicines with short shelf lives, including vaccines, insulin, biologics, and cancer therapies, according to Think Global Health, a Council on Foreign Relations initiative. While short-term drug shortage risks remain low due to inventory buffers, the duration of the conflict will determine severity of impact on the pharmaceutical industry, CFR analysts noted. On March 19, 2026, U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent indicated the Trump administration is considering lifting sanctions on Iranian crude oil currently held on tankers at sea, framing the consideration as a tool to address global supply concerns and rising prices. The remarks represent a potential significant shift from the administration's maximum pressure campaign targeting Iran's oil revenues since 2018. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu toured the southern Israeli cities of Dimona and Arad on March 21, 2026, following Iranian missile strikes near Israel's main nuclear research center that injured dozens and heavily damaged residential buildings. Netanyahu called it a miracle that no one was killed and urged residents to heed air raid sirens. Strategic context: the convergence of three asymmetric vulnerabilities. The March 2026 supply chain disruptions represent the collision of three long-developing structural vulnerabilities in the global economy: geographic concentration of irreplaceable industrial inputs, just-in-time inventory systems with minimal buffer capacity, and the embedding of critical civilian infrastructure within military conflict zones. The helium problem. A 90-year warning ignored helium's strategic importance has been understood since the 1920s, when the United States established the National Helium Reserve specifically because of the gas's unique physical properties and non-renewable nature. Unlike virtually every other commodity, helium cannot be synthesized or substituted, Once released into the atmosphere, it escapes Earth's gravity permanently. The element's combination of extreme cold temperature, minus 269 degrees Celsius at liquefaction, chemical inertness, and small atomic size makes it irreplaceable for cooling superconducting magnets in MRI machines, purging and pressurizing rocket fuel systems, and creating the ultra-clean, temperature-controlled environments required for semiconductor manufacturing. The concentration of helium production in Qatar, which ramped up output dramatically in the 2010s as U.S. production from legacy natural gas fields declined, created exactly the single point of failure vulnerability that strategic reserves were designed to prevent. By 2025, Qatar's position as the second-largest global producer meant that any disruption to its facilities would immediately impact global supply, with no spare capacity to compensate. The U.S. Geological Survey data showing Qatar producing more than one-third of global helium in 2025 suggests approximately 35 to 40 million cubic meters annually from a global production base of roughly 100 to 110 million cubic meters. The elimination of 5.2 million cubic meters of monthly production capacity, 62.4 million cubic meters annualized, therefore represents more than half of total global helium supply being taken offline. This is not a shortage that can be resolved through price signals or demand destruction. The physical infrastructure to extract, purify, liquefy, and transport helium requires 18 to 36 months to rebuild even under optimal conditions. The Kobasi letter's finding that helium evaporates during storage and must reach end users within 45 days means that inventory buffers are minimal and non-fungible across users. A hospital MRI machine cannot defer maintenance, and a semiconductor fab cannot pause production without scrapping millions of dollars in partially completed wafers. The timing of this disruption is particularly acute because of the 2024 to 2026 artificial intelligence infrastructure build-out. Major technology companies including Microsoft, Amazon, Google, and Meta have collectively committed to more than $300 billion in capital expenditure through 2027, the majority directed toward data center construction and AI chip manufacturing. Advanced semiconductor fabrication, particularly for the sub-5 nanometer process nodes required for frontier AI chips, requires helium for wafer cooling, leak detection, and creating inert atmospheres during ion implantation and chemical vapor deposition. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSMC, which manufactures approximately 90% of the world's advanced chips, operates fabs that consume massive helium volumes for 24/7 continuous operation. Pharmaceutical cold chains, the invisible logistics revolution at risk. The pharmaceutical disruption, while receiving less attention than helium or oil, represents a different category of risk. The vulnerability of the post-2020 vaccine logistics revolution. The mRNA vaccine campaigns during the COVID-19 pandemic forced massive investment in ultra-cold chain infrastructure capable of maintaining temperatures as low as minus 80 degrees Celsius for extended periods. This infrastructure has since been repurposed for distribution of next-generation biologics, cell and gene therapies, and personalized cancer treatments that represent the most advanced frontiers of medical science. These therapies cannot be stockpiled indefinitely. Their biological activity degrades on predictable timelines measured in days or weeks, not months. The Think Global Health analysis noting that vaccines, insulin, biologics, and cancer therapies are most at risk specifically because of their short shelf lives highlights how medical advances have created new dependencies on uninterrupted logistics. A two-week delay in transit can render a $100,000 personalized cancer therapy completely worthless, with no possibility of replacement until a new batch is manufactured from scratch. The Strait of Hormuz closure affects pharmaceutical distribution through two mechanisms. First, direct transit disruption for drugs manufactured in Asia, particularly India, which produces approximately 20% of global generic drug supply, and destined for Middle Eastern, African, and European markets. Second, the cascading effects of container ship rerouting around Africa via the Cape of Good Hope, which adds 2010 to 2014 days to transit times and creates temperature control challenges during longer voyages. While the CFR analysis suggests short-term drug shortage risks for most countries are low given inventory buffers, this assessment holds only for generic drugs with 12 to 18-month shelf lives. For biologics, the buffer period is measured in weeks, and for cell therapies, which are manufactured on demand for individual patients, there is no buffer whatsoever. Fertilizer, the forgotten foundation of 8 billion lives. The fertilizer disruption represents the most potentially catastrophic of the three shocks because of its direct connection to agricultural production during the Northern Hemisphere spring planting season. The United Nations estimate that approximately one-third of global seaborne fertilizer transits the Strait of Hormuz captures only part of the vulnerability. The more significant factor is the concentration of production capacity in the Persian Gulf region and the Black Sea, areas either directly involved in conflict or experiencing severe logistics disruption. Modern industrial agriculture is entirely dependent on synthetic nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium fertilizers. Nitrogen fertilizer production requires massive natural gas inputs, both as feedstock and energy source, while phosphorus and potassium mining are geographically concentrated in Morocco, Russia, Belarus, and Canada. The 2022-2023 disruptions following Russia's invasion of Ukraine demonstrated how quickly fertilizer price spikes, potash prices tripled in 2022, translate into planting decisions by farmers, who reduce application rates to manage costs, which in turn reduces yields 6 to 9 months later during harvest. The March 2026 timing of the Iran war disruption is particularly damaging because it coincides exactly with the spring planting window in the Northern Hemisphere, the period from March through May when farmers in North America, Europe, and China make fertilizer purchases and field applications for crops that will be harvested in September to October. Fertilizer that doesn't reach farms by late May cannot affect 2026 production. There is no intertemporal substitution possible. The Business Insider report noting that fertilizer price surges come alongside rising energy costs, and already record-high input costs for farmers points to a compounding crisis where farmers face simultaneous increases in fuel, for tractors, fertilizer, and financing costs, as interest rates remain elevated from central bank inflation-fighting measures. A 2008 precedent offers a sobering comparison. When oil prices spiked to $147/barrel in summer 2008 and fertilizer prices followed, the 2008-2009 global food crisis resulted in food riots in 40-plus countries and an estimated 100 million additional people pushed into extreme poverty by food price inflation. The 2026 shock is occurring from a higher baseline. Global food prices in early 2026 were already 15-20% above pre-COVID levels, and with less fiscal capacity for governments to provide subsidies after pandemic-era spending exhausted budgets. Historical precedent: the 1973 oil shock and systems failures. The closest historical parallel to the March 2026 multi-commodity shock is the 1973-1974 oil crisis, when Arab Oprah-Vate Equitique members imposed an embargo following the Yom Kippur War. Oil prices quadrupled from $3 to $12 per barrel, triggering global recession, double-digit inflation in developed economies, and fundamental restructuring of energy policy in consuming nations. But the 1973 crisis was primarily a single commodity shock affecting energy, with second-order effects on petrochemicals and transportation. The 2026 crisis is qualitatively different because it simultaneously affects energy, oil, and LNG, industrial production, helium for semiconductors, healthcare, pharmaceutical logistics, and food production, fertilizer. The 1973 crisis also differed in that alternative supply sources existed. North Sea oil production ramped up dramatically through the late 1970s, providing non-Oprah-Vate Equitique supply that eventually broke the cartel's pricing power. In 2026, there are no alternative helium sources that can be brought online quickly. U.S. production from the National Helium Reserve was largely depleted through the 2010s, and new helium production requires either constructing new LNG plants, 5 to 7 year timeline, or developing helium-specific extraction from natural gas fields, 3 to 5 year timeline for smaller volumes. The geographic concentration is a feature of geology, not policy. Helium concentrations in natural gas deposits are highest in Qatar, Algeria, Russia, and specific U.S. fields, and there are no undeveloped alternatives waiting for higher prices to make them economic. Actor analysis: incentives, constraints, and miscalculation. The March 2026 crisis emerges from decisions by three principal actors: the United States, Israel, and Iran, each operating under distinct incentive structures and domestic political constraints that have led to catastrophic miscalculation. The Trump administration: electoral imperatives versus strategic coherence. President Donald Trump's March 21 ultimatum, threatening to obliterate Iranian power plants if the Strait of Hormuz is not fully reopened within 48 hours, reveals the dominance of domestic political considerations over strategic coherence. Trump's political brand depends on projecting strength and delivering visible wins that can be communicated to supporters in simple narratives: bad actors punished, American interests defended, problems solved through force. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessant's March 19 comments about potentially lifting sanctions on stranded Iranian oil barrels to address global supply concerns and rising prices contradicts this posture of maximum pressure, suggesting deep divisions within the administration about strategy. Bessant, a former hedge fund manager with sophisticated understanding of energy markets, clearly recognizes that U.S. threats without sanctions relief create a vicious cycle. Iran has no incentive to reopen the strait if oil revenues will remain sanctioned, while the U.S. needs the strait open to prevent gasoline prices from spiking ahead of the 2028 election cycle. The contradiction points to an administration operating without unified command, where different officials pursue incompatible objectives. Trump's denial of prior U.S. knowledge of Israeli strikes on Iran's South Pars gas field, contradicting media reports of coordination, fits a pattern of attempting to distance the U.S. from actions it likely approved. This approach seeks the benefits of Israeli military action against Iran while avoiding accountability for consequences. In this case, Iranian retaliation against Qatari facilities that has now disrupted global helium supply. The plausible deniability strategy works for isolated incidents but collapses when second-order effects become too large to ignore, as has now occurred. The consideration of deploying thousands of additional troops to the Middle East, potentially for operations on the Iranian coast, as mentioned in the Natural News source, indicates escalation toward ground operations despite Trump's pattern of claiming he wants to avoid forever wars. The contradiction reflects a fundamental strategic incoherence. The administration seeks regime change in Iran, implied by maximum pressure policies dating to Trump's first term 2017 to 2021, but lacks a military theory of victory for achieving regime change in a country of 88 million people with mountainous terrain and demonstrated missile strike capabilities across the entire Middle East region. Israel, expanded war aims and the logic of preventive action. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's decision to strike Iranian gas facilities at South Pars represents a calculated expansion of war aims beyond immediate security threats to include economic warfare targeting Iran's energy infrastructure. The strike logic appears to be that destroying Iran's ability to generate revenue and project power through energy exports will either force capitulation or create internal political pressure for regime change. This strategy reflects lessons Netanyahu's coalition appears to have drawn from the 2022-23 period, when global energy market disruptions following Russia's invasion of Ukraine demonstrated the coercive power of controlling energy supplies. However, the Israeli calculation appears to have underestimated or discounted the likelihood of Iranian retaliation against third-party targets, specifically Qatari infrastructure, that would trigger a global crisis extending far beyond the bilateral Israeli-Iranian conflict. Netanyahu faces severe domestic political constraints that push toward escalation. His political survival depends on maintaining the support of right-wing coalition partners who favor aggressive action against Iran and view any compromise as weakness. Additionally, the longer the conflict continues without decisive Israeli victory, the greater the risk of international pressure for ceasefire and the greater the domestic political cost of casualties and economic disruption. This creates incentives for dramatic escalatory actions intended to force a decisive outcome quickly, even if those actions, such as striking major energy infrastructure, carry significant risk of widening the conflict. The March 21 tour of Arad by Netanyahu following Iranian missile strikes near Israeli nuclear facilities reveals the other dimension of Israeli calculations, demonstrating leadership resolve under attack to maintain public morale while the conflict continues. Netanyahu's characterization of it as a miracle that no one was killed, while urging residents to heed air raid sirens, attempts to frame continued civilian exposure to missile strikes as manageable rather than intolerable, a necessary narrative if the war is to continue for weeks or months more. Iran, the strategic logic of horizontal escalation. Iran's decision to strike Qatari LNG facilities rather than limit retaliation to Israeli or U.S. targets represents a sophisticated strategy of horizontal escalation, expanding the geographic and economic scope of the conflict to raise costs for the U.S. and its partners to levels that might force diplomatic engagement. The logic is straightforward. Direct Iranian strikes on Israeli civilian infrastructure risk. Massive Israeli, and potentially U.S., retaliation against Iranian cities and military installations. But strikes on third-party energy infrastructure in Qatar, the UAE, or Saudi Arabia create a different calculus. These are U.S. partners but not treaty allies, and their primary concern is economic rather than ideological. By demonstrating the ability to disrupt energy supplies that affect global markets, Iran creates pressure on these countries to lobby Washington for de-escalation, while simultaneously creating economic pain for Western economies through higher energy prices that might shift domestic political calculations in the U.S. and Europe towards seeking conflict termination. Sayed Ali Mousavi, Iran's envoy to the International Maritime Organization, indicated that navigating the Strait of Hormuz is possible for everyone except enemies, and Iran has approved passage of ships to China and elsewhere in Asia. This policy creates a de facto bifurcation of the global energy market. Asian consumers, particularly China and India, which have maintained relations with Iran throughout the sanctions period, retain access to Persian Gulf energy supplies at modest premiums, while Western consumers face severe shortages and price spikes. This strategy attempts to split the international coalition against Iran by offering continued access to countries willing to maintain neutrality or tacit support for Iranian positions. The Iranian warning that any strike on its energy facilities would prompt attacks on U.S. and Israeli energy and infrastructure assets, specifically information technology and desalination facilities, in the region adds the threat of attacks on critical civilian infrastructure throughout the Gulf states. Desalination plants are particularly vulnerable targets because Gulf states have minimal natural freshwater resources and urban populations depend entirely on desalination for drinking water. A strike on major facilities in Kuwait City, Dubai, or Riyadh could create humanitarian catastrophe within days. Scenario analysis. Three pathways from March 2026. Scenario 1, escalation to regional war, 35% probability. Trigger, U.S. implements Trump's threat to strike Iranian power plants following expiration of 48-hour ultimatum. Iran retaliates with ballistic missile strikes on U.S. military bases in Iraq, Kuwait, Qatar, and Bahrain, resulting in significant American casualties. Trajectory, U.S. launches sustained air campaign against Iranian military and dual-use infrastructure. Iran responds with combination of missile strikes on Gulf state energy facilities, mining of the Strait of Hormuz, and activation of proxy forces, Houthis in Yemen, militias in Iraq, Hezbollah in Lebanon, for attacks across the region. Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Kuwait suffer attacks on oil production and export facilities. Israel expands operations against Hezbollah in southern Lebanon and potentially enters war directly against Syria. Duration, 3 to 6 months of sustained military operations before operational exhaustion, economic damage, or diplomatic intervention forces cessation of large-scale combat. Irregular warfare and sanctions continue indefinitely. Energy impact. Strait of Hormuz remains closed or severely restricted for 4 to 6 months. Brent crude reaches $150-$175/barrel. Global oil supply drops by 15 to 20 million barrels per day. Strategic petroleum reserve releases from U.S., China, India, and Japan moderate but cannot eliminate shortage. Rationing implemented in some economies. Helium impact. Qatari production remains offline throughout conflict and 6 to 12 months after for reconstruction. Total global helium supply reduced by 55 to 60% for 9 to 15 months. Semiconductor fabs implement strict rationing, prioritizing highest value chips, AI processors, military systems. Consumer electronics production sharply curtailed. MRI machines in hospitals operate on reduced schedules. Some elective medical procedures requiring imaging are postponed. Fertilizer impact. Spring 2026 planting season severely disrupted in Europe, Africa, and parts of Asia. Fertilizer application rates declined 30 to 40% in affected regions. Harvest forecasts for fall 2026 reduced by 15 to 25% for major grains, wheat, corn, rice. Food price inflation accelerates to 25 to 35% year over year by Q4 2026. Food security crises emerge in import-dependent countries across Middle East, North Africa, and Sub-Saharan Africa. Estimated 200 to 300 million additional people face acute food insecurity. Market impact. Global equity markets declined 25 to 35% from March 2026 levels. Energy sector outperforms but cannot offset technology sector collapse, semiconductors, and consumer discretionary weakness, food inflation. Credit spreads widened dramatically. Several emerging market countries face sovereign debt crises as food/energy import costs exceed foreign exchange reserves. International Monetary Fund implements emergency lending facilities. Political impact. U.S. midterm election campaign in 2026 dominated by economic crisis and war. Severe tensions within NATO as European economies suffer asymmetric impact from energy disruption while U.S. pushes for sustained military pressure on Iran. China leverages continued energy access to expand influence in Asia and Africa. Russia benefits from higher energy prices and renewed relevance as alternative supplier. Scenario 2. Coercive diplomacy and partial de-escalation, 45% probability. Trigger, behind-the-scenes diplomatic engagement by European powers, China, and Gulf states convinces U.S. and Iran to accept face-saving compromise. Iran partially reopens Strait of Hormuz for neutral-flagged commercial vessels under third-party, possibly Chinese or Indian, naval escort. U.S. delays but does not cancel threatened strikes on Iranian power plants. Trajectory, fragile détente emerges where both sides continue military posturing but avoid further escalation of strikes on energy infrastructure. Limited naval incidents continue in Persian Gulf but do not trigger broader conflict. Diplomatic track focuses on negotiating buffer zones and rules of engagement to prevent accidental escalation. Israel and Iran continue lower-intensity conflict through proxy forces and covert operations, but avoid direct strikes on each other's critical infrastructure. Duration: 2 to 4 months of tense standoff before gradual normalization of commercial shipping. Full restoration of pre-crisis traffic volumes takes 6 to 9 months as insurance rates decline and shipping companies regain confidence. Energy impact: partial reopening of Strait of Hormuz allows 50-70% of normal traffic volume. Oil prices stabilize in $90-$110/barrel range, elevated but not crisis levels. Some rationing or demand destruction in price-sensitive markets, but no widespread shortages. Strategic reserve releases concluded by Q3 2026. Helium impact: Qatari facilities remain damaged but reconstruction begins under international engineering contracts. Partial production: 30-40% of pre-crisis capacity, restored by Q4 2026, full restoration by mid-2027. Global helium shortage continues but at manageable severity. Semiconductor industry implements efficiency measures and reduces waste. Some delays in AI infrastructure build-out but no complete halt. Healthcare sector adapts through better scheduling and utilization of existing MRI capacity. Fertilizer impact: fertilizer shipments resume at reduced volumes, 60-70% of normal, by late April 2026, allowing partial application for late planted crops. Fall 2026 harvest reduced by 5-10% compared to normal years. Food price inflation moderates to 8-12% year over year. Localized food security crises in most vulnerable countries, but not generalized global crisis. International aid organizations implement emergency distribution programs in affected regions. Market impact: equity markets decline 10-15% from March 2026 levels, then stabilize and partially recover as crisis de-escalates. Technology sector experiences 6-9 month slowdown in growth but avoids collapse. Energy sector volatility remains elevated. Emerging markets differentiate based on energy import dependence and policy responses. Flight to quality benefits U.S. Treasuries despite fiscal concerns. Political impact: Biden administration, if Democratic, or Trump administration, if Republican, claims diplomatic success in averting wider war while maintaining pressure on Iran. Domestic economic pain from inflation creates political vulnerability but not crisis-level political instability. European-U.S. relations strained but not broken. China gains influence as mediator and alternative energy supplier. India strengthens position as swing state between Western and Chinese-led blocs. Scenario 3: rapid de-escalation and market normalization, 20% probability. Trigger: Iranian domestic political calculation shifts following assessment that economic damage from continued closure of Strait of Hormuz harms Iranian interests more than gains achieved through coercive leverage. Internal Iranian debate between hardline Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps commanders and pragmatic civilian officials results in decision to reopen Strait without preconditions, while maintaining right to respond to future attacks. Trajectory: Iran announces immediate reopening of Strait of Hormuz to all commercial traffic except Israeli-flagged vessels. U.S. and European powers quietly shelve plans for military strikes and begin indirect negotiations on sanctions relief for Iranian humanitarian and civilian energy sectors. Gulf states accelerate reconstruction of damaged facilities with international engineering support. Conflict between Israel and Iran continues through covert operations and proxy warfare but returns to pre-2026 baseline intensity. Duration: commercial shipping normalizes within 2-3 weeks. Insurance rates decline over 6-8 weeks. Energy markets return to pre-crisis trajectory by Q3 2026. Energy impact: oil prices drop rapidly to $70-$80/barrel range. Strategic reserve releases concluded. No lasting impact on global energy markets beyond 3-4 months of temporary disruption. Helium impact: Qatari reconstruction accelerated with all hands on deck international engineering effort. Production begins ramping by Q3 2026, reaches 70% of capacity by Q4 2026, full restoration by Q1 2027. Semiconductor industry experiences 3-6 month slowdown but no structural impact. AI infrastructure build-out delayed but not derailed. Fertilizer impact: spring planting season salvaged in most regions. Fertilizer application rates only slightly below normal. Fall 2026 harvest near normal levels. Food price inflation remains elevated, 5-8% year over year, due to energy costs but not crisis levels. Market impact: risk on sentiment returns. Equity markets recover March 2026 losses by Q3 2026 and resume upward trajectory. Technology sector rallies on relief that semiconductor constraints are temporary. Energy sector gives back crisis gains. Emerging markets benefit from reduced risk premium. Political impact: U.S. administration claims success in deterring Iranian aggression while avoiding wider war. Domestic political focus returns to pre-crisis issues. International system returns to pre-crisis configuration with minimal lasting change in alignments or power balances. Lessons learned about supply chain vulnerability drive some policy discussions about strategic stockpiling and diversification, but limited immediate action. The Plaquemines assessment, the 45% probability assigned to Scenario 2, coercive diplomacy, reflects our judgment that both U.S. and Iranian decision-makers recognize the catastrophic economic consequences of sustained conflict, but face domestic political constraints that prevent either side from appearing to capitulate. The key variable is whether Gulf states, particularly Qatar, UAE, and Saudi Arabia, exercise sufficient leverage over Washington to force diplomatic track prioritization over continued military escalation. These states have the most to lose from sustained conflict and the most to gain from rapid de-escalation, but their influence over U.S. policy is constrained by Israel's role as a U.S. treaty partner with domestic political support in Washington. Economic and market implications. The price of systemic fragility. The March 2026 supply chain disruptions expose a fundamental mispricing in global markets. The assumption that geographic concentration of critical inputs poses primarily logistical rather than strategic risk. For the past two decades, financial markets have treated supply chain optimization, lowest cost, fastest delivery, minimal inventory, as unambiguously positive for corporate profitability and shareholder value. The Iran crisis demonstrates that this optimization has proceeded to the point of systemic fragility, where single points of failure can cascade across multiple industries simultaneously. Semiconductor sector. The AI bubble meets physical reality. The helium shortage strikes directly at the $600 plus billion global semiconductor industry at its most vulnerable moment. The transition to sub-3 nanometer process nodes required for next-generation AI processors. TSMC's announcement of 2 nanometers chip production targets for 2025-26 and Intel's plans for 18A, 1.8 nanometers, process technology both depend on helium availability for ultra-cold cryogenic cooling during extreme ultraviolet, EUV, lithography. Without adequate helium supplies, semiconductor fabs face three bad options: continue production with recycled/lower-purity helium, accepting higher defect rates and lower yields, reduce production volumes to prioritize highest-value chips, or temporarily shut down advanced process node production entirely. Each option destroys shareholder value. Higher defect rates directly reduce profit margins. Each wafer costs $15,000 to $25,000 to produce. A defect discovered after completion represents total loss. Reduced production volumes strand fixed costs across expensive fabrication equipment. A single UV lithography machine costs $150 to $200 million. Temporary shutdowns require weeks of restart procedures and risk contamination that could require complete sterilization of cleanroom facilities. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index, SOX, which gained 45% in 2024 and 38% in 2025 driven by AI enthusiasm, faces repricing as the physical constraints on chip production become apparent. Our analysis suggests 25 to 35% downside risk from March 2026 levels in the regional war scenario, with recovery dependent on helium supply restoration timeline. TSMC, Samsung Electronics, and Intel face the greatest direct exposure, while fabless chip designers like NVIDIA and AMD face indirect exposure through reliance on TSMC for manufacturing. The second-order effect extends to the estimated $175 to $200 billion in planned AI data center investments by Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Meta, and Oracle through 2027. If semiconductor supply constraints delay availability of next-generation AI chips by 12 to 18 months, these capital expenditure plans face either postponement, stranding partially completed data center construction, or continuation with current generation chips, resulting in higher operating costs per unit of compute due to lower energy efficiency. Either outcome reduces expected returns on invested capital and calls into question the sustainability of the AI infrastructure build-out that has driven technology sector valuations since late 2022. Healthcare sector. The hidden crisis in high-value medicine. The pharmaceutical supply chain disruption creates a bifurcated impact across the healthcare sector. Generic drugs with long shelf lives and diversified manufacturing, predominantly in India and China, experience minimal disruption beyond temporary price increases from higher shipping costs. But the highest value segments of the pharmaceutical industry, biologics, cell/gene therapies, and personalized medicine, face severe constraints. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, BioNTech, Moderna, and other companies focused on biologics and mRNA therapeutics depend on uninterrupted cold chain logistics for product delivery. These companies have gross margins of 75 to 85% precisely because their products command premium pricing based on efficacy for otherwise untreatable conditions. But gross margin collapses if product cannot reach patients within shelf life windows. A $100,000 cancer therapy that expires in transit generates zero revenue. The Council on Foreign Relations assessment that pharmaceutical companies could pass the associated costs onto the consumers misses the inelasticity problem. Patients requiring these therapies have no substitutes and often no ability to pay higher prices out of pocket given that insurance plans negotiate prices in advance. Instead, pharmaceutical companies will absorb logistics cost increases through reduced profitability or ration product delivery to markets where infrastructure enables reliable cold chain maintenance, North America, Europe, Japan, at the expense of emerging markets where logistics are more challenging. The broader implication concerns the investment case for the cell and gene therapy sector, which has attracted more than $40 billion in venture capital and public market investment since 2020. These therapies require not just cold chain logistics, but continuous minus 80 degrees Celsius to minus 196 degrees Celsius storage from manufacturing through delivery to patient, a requirement that becomes exponentially more difficult when conflict disrupts primary shipping routes. If investor confidence in the viability of global distribution for these therapies declines, valuations for the entire sector face reset, with knock-on effects for biotech venture funding and pharmaceutical company acquisition strategies. Agricultural commodities. The 2026 to 2027 food price surge, the fertilizer disruption creates the most predictable and potentially most destabilizing market impact through agricultural commodity price inflation with 6 to 9 month lag to harvest season. Chicago Board of Trade wheat futures, corn futures, and rice futures on Asian exchanges all face upward repricing as traders incorporate reduced fertilizer application during spring 2026 planting into harvest forecasts for fall 2026. Historical precedent from 2008, 2011, and 2022 demonstrates that 20-30% increases in wheat, corn, and rice prices translate into 15-25% increases in retail food prices with 3-6 month lag as existing inventory depletes and higher cost supplies enter the distribution chain. For U.S. and European consumers, this represents affordability challenge but not crisis. Food expenditure comprises 6-12% of household budgets in developed economies. For consumers in emerging markets where food represents 30-50% of household expenditure, the same price increases trigger food insecurity, political instability, and potential humanitarian crisis. The investment implication is that agricultural commodity futures, agricultural equipment manufacturers, Deere & Company, CNH Industrial, and fertilizer producers with capacity outside the affected region, Nutrien, CF Industries, Mosaic, all offer inflation hedges in the Scenario 1 and Scenario 2 trajectories. The counterposition is that food service companies, McDonald's, Yum! Brands, Restaurant Brands International, and packaged food manufacturers with limited pricing power, Kraft Heinz, General Mills, Campbell Soup, face margin compression as input costs rise faster than ability to pass through price increases to consumers. Sovereign debt markets in food importing emerging economies face acute stress. Egypt, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and numerous sub-Saharan African countries depend on imported wheat and rice for basic caloric intake. When food import bills surge 30-50% while export revenues remain stagnant and foreign exchange reserves have already been depleted by post-COVID fiscal deficits, these countries face a trilemma: default on external debt, cut food subsidies and face political unrest, or implement severe austerity to free up funds for food imports. The IMF's capacity to provide emergency financing is limited after pandemic-era lending, suggesting that several sovereign debt restructurings are likely in 2026-27 if food prices remain elevated. Defense sector. The repricings of deterrence. The Iran conflict demonstrates that U.S. and Israeli missile defense systems, Patriot, Iron Dome, David Sling, Arrow, can be overwhelmed by saturation attacks using relatively inexpensive ballistic missiles. Iranian missiles struck multiple targets in Israel on March 21 despite Israel's sophisticated layered defense, and the Israeli military explicitly stated it was not able to intercept missiles that hit Dimona and Arad. This operational result contradicts 2 decades of defense industry marketing about the effectiveness of missile defense, with immediate implications for defense contractor valuations and Pentagon procurement priorities. Lockheed Martin, Raytheon Technologies, now RTX Corporation, and Northrop Grumman face questions about the cost-effectiveness of their missile defense products when adversaries can achieve successful strikes, with missiles costing $1 to $2 million against defensive interceptors costing $3 to $4 million each. The mathematics of salvo exhaustion, where an attacker fires more missiles than the defender has interceptors, has been understood theoretically, but the March 2026 attacks provide empirical validation that sophisticated adversaries can and will exploit this vulnerability. The counter-narrative, likely to be advanced by defense contractors and Pentagon acquisition officials, is that the answer is more defense, denser interceptor coverage, additional radar installations, directed energy weapons, lasers, for cheaper cost per kill, and space-based sensors for earlier detection. This narrative supports continued high defense spending and specifically benefits the directed energy weapons programs at Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and RTX that have faced skepticism about technical maturity and operational utility. The Trump administration's reported request for another $200 billion from Congress for the war against Iran, if accurate, this figure appears only in the natural news source and should be treated with caution, would represent emergency defense supplemental appropriation comparable to the Iraq and Afghanistan war funding during the 2000s. Defense sector stocks typically rally on supplemental appropriations even when broader markets decline, creating a hedge position for portfolios during geopolitical crisis. Second-order effects: what the disruption causes the death of just-in-time for strategic materials. The most significant second-order effect of the March 2026 crisis will be wholesale reevaluation of just-in-time inventory management for materials designated as strategically critical. The semiconductor industry will lead this shift, with major consumers of helium, TSMC, Samsung, Intel, GlobalFoundries, negotiating long-term supply contracts with price floors that incentivize production capacity expansion and implementing on-site helium storage with 90 to 180-day capacity, rather than 30 to 45-day capacity. This shift reverses four decades of supply chain optimization that treated inventory as waste to be eliminated. The financial impact is substantial. Building on-site cryogenic helium storage for a major semiconductor fab costs $50 to $100 million in capital expenditure, and carrying 6 months of inventory rather than 6 weeks of inventory ties up working capital that previously could have been returned to shareholders or invested in growth. But the 2026 crisis demonstrates that the cost of not having buffer inventory during supply disruption is existentially threatening to production continuity. The pharmaceutical industry will follow a similar trajectory, with manufacturers of biologics investing in redundant cold chain logistics infrastructure and maintaining larger finished goods inventory despite shelf life constraints. This increases costs and reduces return on invested capital but becomes competitive necessity once the first major manufacturer loses hundreds of millions in expired product during logistics disruption. Governments will intervene to accelerate this transition through policy tools, strategic stockpile requirements, helium reserve refill in the US, potentially creation of helium reserves in Europe and Asia, tax incentives for companies maintaining elevated inventory of critical materials, and possibly regulations requiring minimum inventory buffers for products deemed essential to national security or public health. The trend toward economic security as a primary organizing principle for industrial policy, already visible in U.S.-China technology competition and European Union critical raw materials policy, will accelerate and expand to encompass a broader range of materials and supply chains. Geopolitical realignment: the rise of the mineral middle powers. The helium crisis elevates the strategic importance of countries controlling helium resources, specifically the United States, Texas, Wyoming, Kansas natural gas fields, Algeria, Hassi-Roumell gas field, Russia, East Siberian gas fields, and Australia, emerging production from LNG projects. These countries gain leverage in negotiations over technology transfer, market access, and geopolitical alignment. The precedent is the rare earth elements crisis of 2010 to 2011. When China's restrictions on rare earth exports, which China controlled 97% of global production at the time, catalyzed massive investment in alternative production in Australia, US, and elsewhere, along with diplomatic pressure and WTO complaints. By 2026, China's share of rare earth production has declined to approximately 60%, reducing but not eliminating its monopoly leverage. The lesson learned: that concentrated control of non-substitutable materials confers geopolitical power that can be wielded for strategic ends, will drive both resource-owning countries to exploit their position and resource-dependent countries to invest in diversification. Algeria, which possesses substantial helium resources associated with its natural gas production, becomes a more important player in European energy security discussions. The country has been a secondary focus in European energy policy relative to Norway and Middle Eastern suppliers, but the combination of proximity to Europe, existing pipeline infrastructure, Trans-Mediterranean pipeline, and helium production capacity elevates its strategic value. European investment in Algerian energy infrastructure will increase, along with tolerance for the country's authoritarian governance model, a dynamic that repeats the pattern of energy security concerns overriding human rights considerations visible in European relations with Gulf states. Australia's emerging helium production from LNG projects in Queensland and Western Australia positions the country as a potential reliable alternative supplier for Asian semiconductor manufacturers. The US-Australia alliance, AUKUS, gains an economic dimension beyond military cooperation, with Australia positioned as a secure supplier of critical industrial inputs for US-aligned technology companies seeking to reduce dependence on Middle Eastern supplies vulnerable to conflict disruption. Technology sovereignty and the fragmentation of global supply chains. The semiconductor industry's helium vulnerability accelerates the already underway trend toward regionalized supply chains organized around geopolitical blocs rather than economic efficiency. China's multi-decade effort to build indigenous semiconductor manufacturing capability, supported by more than $150 billion in state subsidies since 2014, gains validation as strategic insurance against supply disruptions in U.S.-allied production regions. Chinese semiconductor companies, SMIC, Huahong Semiconductor, Shanghai Huali Microelectronics, operate at 7nm to 14nm process nodes as of 2026, approximately two generations behind TSMC's leading-edge 2nm production. But the helium disruption potentially narrows this gap if TSMC and Samsung face sustained production constraints while Chinese manufacturers, supplied by helium from Russia via pipeline with limited maritime vulnerability, maintain output. If this dynamic persists for 12 to 18 months, Chinese semiconductors close the performance gap not through technological breakthrough but through competitors' supply chain failure. The broader implication is acceleration toward a world with parallel, non-interoperable technology stacks, a US-European/allied bloc using semiconductors manufactured by TSMC, Samsung, and Intel using helium sourced from US-Algeria/Australia, and a Chinese/Russian/non-aligned bloc using semiconductors manufactured by SMIC and partners using helium sourced from Russia/Central Asia. This fragmentation increases global costs, economies of scale lost, and reduces innovation speed, knowledge spillovers blocked, but emerges as inevitable consequence once supply chain security becomes paramount concern overriding efficiency. The fertilizer crisis and migration pressure. The second-order effect of fertilizer disruption and food price inflation in 2026-27 is large-scale migration from food-insecure regions toward more stable economies. The 2011 Arab Spring uprisings were partially triggered by food price spikes following 2010 droughts and trade disruptions. The pattern repeats when affordability deteriorates beyond thresholds that poor households can absorb. Migration from North Africa and Middle East toward Europe, which surged in 2015-2016 during the Syrian refugee crisis and has remained elevated through the 2020s, will intensify if food prices rise 25-35% as the Scenario 1 trajectory projects. Italy, Greece, and Spain face intensified pressure on border management and asylum processing systems, with political repercussions across the European Union as right-wing nationalist parties gain support based on anti-immigration platforms. In Asia, migration from Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Myanmar toward India, Thailand, and Malaysia similarly intensifies, creating regional political tensions and potential conflict. India's border management in Assam and West Bengal states, already contentious, becomes acute crisis if hundreds of thousands of Bangladeshis flee food insecurity. The risk of communal violence and state-to-state tension escalates proportionally. The U.S.-Mexico border faces similar intensification, with Central American migration driven by food insecurity adding to existing flows driven by violence, governance failure, and family reunification. This becomes a central issue in U.S. domestic politics during 2026 midterm elections and 2028 presidential campaign, with policy implications ranging from border security funding to agricultural aid programs to immigration reform. The Plaquemines view. The non-consensus position markets are fundamentally misunderstanding the nature of the March 2026 crisis. This is not three separate commodity shocks that will be resolved through traditional supply-demand adjustment mechanisms. This is a single systems failure exposing the brittleness of the post-Cold War assumption that critical supply chains can be optimized for efficiency without regard for resilience. The consensus view, reflected in analyst reports from major investment banks through mid-March 2026, treats the helium, pharmaceutical, and fertilizer disruptions as temporary shocks that will resolve once the Iran conflict de-escalates, with impact measured in quarters. This view is wrong on both timeline and mechanism. The Plaquemines assessment. First, the timeline for helium supply restoration is being dramatically underestimated. rebuilding LNG processing infrastructure. Damaged in missile strikes requires 12 to 24 months under optimal conditions, ordered equipment, available skilled labor, secure operating environment, functioning logistics for delivery of massive industrial components. None of these conditions exist in Qatar while conflict continues and all are constrained even after ceasefire. The mechanical reality is that restoring 5.2 million cubic meters per month of helium production capacity requires physical reconstruction of separation columns, cryogenic cooling systems, and compression facilities, engineering limited processes that cannot be accelerated through capital injection alone. The market is pricing helium shortage as 6 to 9 month phenomenon. Actual resolution timeline is 15 to 24 months, with phase 1, return to 40 to 50% capacity, taking 9 to 12 months and phase 2, full restoration, taking additional 6 to 12 months. This implies sustained constraint on semiconductor manufacturing through all of 2026 and into 2027, forcing either rationing of advanced chips or significant market share shifts to Chinese manufacturers operating with Russian helium supplies unaffected by Middle East conflict. Second, the fertilizer impact will manifest with 6 to 9 month lag, creating a rolling crisis through 2026 to 27 that markets currently underprice. Current agricultural commodity futures, September 2026 wheat, December 2026 corn, show elevated prices but not crisis-level pricing because traders are anchoring to historical disruption episodes, 2008-2011, that were resolved within single growing season. The March 2026 disruption occurs during spring planting, meaning full impact appears in September to October 2026 harvest. If conflict extends beyond Q2 2026, the fall 2026 planting season for Southern Hemisphere, Argentina, Brazil, Australia, also faces disruption, creating sequential shortfalls across two hemispheres and multiple growing seasons. The appropriate historical comparison is not 2008, single-year price spike, but 1972 to 1974, multi-year agricultural crisis following Soviet crop failures and petroleum price shock, when wheat prices remained elevated for 30-plus months and food price inflation persisted despite multiple harvests. Current pricing in agricultural futures markets reflects 2008 scenario. Actual trajectory is likely 1972 to 1974 scenario with sustained elevated prices through 2027. Third, the pharmaceutical disruption creates a binary outcome for the high-value biologics sector that consensus analysis treats as linear risk. Either cold chain logistics are maintained, product reaches patients within shelf life, full revenue recognized, or they are not, product expires, zero revenue, company absorbs total manufacturing cost as loss. There is no partial outcome where 80% of product reaches patients and 80% of revenue is recognized. The all-or-nothing nature of shelf life expiration means that logistics reliability above 95% is acceptable and reliability below 95% is catastrophic. Biotech companies dependent on international distribution of biologics, Regeneron, Moderna, BioNTech, Genmab, Seagen, face binary risk. If conflict resolves quickly, scenario 3, 3 to 4 month disruption, impact is manageable. If conflict extends, scenario 1, 6-plus-month disruption with sustained shipping constraints, impact is existential for their international revenue streams. Current equity valuations price continuous probability distribution of outcomes. Actual distribution is bimodal, suggesting option strategies, long puts on biotech indices, offer asymmetric payoff relative to current pricing. The Plaquemines positioning. We are structuring portfolios for scenario 2, coercive diplomacy, 45% probability, as base case while hedging for scenario 1, regional war, 35% probability. Through asymmetric instruments, long positions, agricultural commodities, wheat, corn, fertilizer producers, buying September 2026 and December 2026 wheat futures, and equity positions in Nutrien, CF Industries, Mosaic. These benefit in both scenario 1, food crisis, and scenario 2, sustained elevated prices, and only lose significantly in scenario 3, rapid normalization, which we assess at only 20% probability. Defense contractors, Lockheed Martin, RTX, Northrop Grumman, supplemental appropriations and elevated defense spending across allied countries creates multi-year tailwind regardless of conflict duration. Missile defense and directed energy weapons programs gain validation and funding. Alternative helium suppliers, diversified energy companies with helium extraction capability. Positioning in companies developing helium production in US, Algeria, Australia, small current revenue base but optionality on 3 to 5 year timeline to supply growth has large asymmetric upside if Middle East remains structurally unstable. Short positions/hedges, biotech with international revenue concentration, selective shorts or put options on companies deriving greater than 40% revenue from biologics, requiring cold chain logistics, and lacking US-Europe only distribution as fallback. These face binary downside risk: consumer discretionary with food/energy cost exposure. Companies unable to pass through input cost inflation face margin compression. Quick service restaurants and packaged food with commoditized products particularly vulnerable. Avoided positions: technology sector broad exposure. Semiconductor supply constraints create differentiated winners and losers, making index exposure inappropriate. TSMC and Samsung face direct helium constraint. Fabless designers, NVIDIA, AMD, face indirect constraint through manufacturing dependency. Chinese semiconductor manufacturers may benefit from competitor constraints. Sector requires selective positioning rather than beta exposure. The non-consensus call: the market will reprice semiconductor sector during Q2 2026 earnings season, April-May 2.